Next Sunday morning, next Friday morning, we're going to do something about it as we march into the city. We repent on behalf of the city. And strongholds are telling you now, strongholds are going to come tumbling down. Spiritual strongholds that have stood for years, they are on, they've been given notice. It's going to happen, church. Do you believe? Amen. We need to believe. That being said, I want to thank the worship team for the phenomenal job again. Just listening. And the ladies this morning, man. Wow. And there was some words we sang. I'm trying to remember, but it was about eternal. The work that Jesus did will last for eternity. The work of the cross will last for eternity. And I thought about it. He has a cross here. Not for a reason. It's because of the season. This is the cross we're going to carry through town next week. But if you think about the cross is an eternal symbol. Do you know that even if they decree that crosses are outlawed, and they try and destroy every cross that exists on the planet Earth, they will never manage to do it. They will never manage. If I look around in this building, I can see things in the shape of a cross. There's people with tattoos of crosses on their body. What do you do when it's outlawed? You chop the arm off on the head? I don't know. Maybe they'll do that. But they won't be able to destroy the symbol of the cross. It's an eternal symbol. It will last forever. Amen. That's how important it is. So before I preach this morning, and I'm preaching on the cross, what the cross means to me, and when I say that, I'm not talking about what it means to me personally. I mean what it means to us personally as individuals. And I asked Josh and Kirsty to come forward and help to sing a song. Every now and again, I cause chaos and I pitch here with my guitar while they're trying to set up. And they've got to be patient, but they're my children, so they're not allowed to say anything. Yeah, will you use one of the other mics, yeah? I'm going to use Josh's mic. Josh is going to go and grab one. Because you don't have to actually even play. You must just sing with me. I actually tried to download a backing track this morning, and I did. And it was great, but it doesn't have all the verses. So you can sing with me. It needs to be a bit louder, please, Trigger. Yeah?
Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above. Thank you, Lord, to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. And we cherish it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I will share, and we will cherish it. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last time. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Can I ask you to stand as we sing that again? Let us stand in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for you and for me.
So I'll cherish the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown.
Thank you, guys. Let's give the Lord praise. We bless you this morning, God. Hallelujah. Remain standing. Father, we thank you this morning for the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for dark Calvary and your blood that you shed for us. We thank you, Lord, that there's nothing that compares to the cross. There's no idol. There's no religious symbol. There's nothing. Because then it was shed, the sacrificial blood of the Lamb that paid the price for our sins, that broke the yoke of slavery. Lord God, it made us free. Father God, there's people sitting here this morning that need to experience that precious blood of the cross. Father, there's many times that we need to just come and be emotional at your altar. So I need the cross. It means everything. There's times we need to come and let go of the things that hold us back. Bondage. Sin. The dog's vomit that we keep going back to. Lay it before the cross. I pray this morning that you will move in this house. And as we experience what the cross means to me, that there will be a victory and a joy that comes into this house such as never been known here before. We ask for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you that sinners can be set free this morning. We thank you that those who are hurting can be healed and burdens can be laid here at the altar this morning. We've got a symbolic cross here. It's not the cross, Lord, but the altar is real. And Jesus is off the cross. He's in heaven. So, Lord, while the cross has such significance to us, we know that when we come before the throne because of the cross. So this morning we open ourselves to be touched by the meaning of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So much for doing a wonderful song and keeping it all under control. But I don't know, I thought about it even as I was singing. The cross is something worth being emotional about. Amen. We try to hide our emotions. Why? We get hard when sin comes and engulfs our hearts and turns it into a rock. And there's no feeling, and there's no conviction anymore, and we can sin, and it's okay, because the cross has lost its meaning in our lives. We need to be soft and pliable. There's times I pray, Lord, take out this heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. Yes, the pastor has to do that too. We need to ask the Lord to show us by His Holy Spirit when our hearts are starting to get hard. And I praise the Lord for these tears this morning. Because it's a sign of a soft heart and a heart that the Lord can work with. I need to blow my nose. I'm going to switch off. Okay. Sorry. So today, sure, how powerful the message of the cross. I don't even need to preach. I really don't. But I will. The cross is a message of opposites. It speaks of death. It speaks of life. It speaks of hate. It speaks of love. It speaks of violence. It speaks of peace. It speaks of accusation. It speaks of forgiveness. It speaks of sin. It speaks of purity. It speaks of punishment. And it speaks of atonement. It speaks about losing everything and yet gaining all. It speaks of destruction and restoration, defeat and victory. It's the cruelest form of execution, yet the most powerful symbol of eternal life. The cross is displayed in many places, in churches, people's homes, hanging from the mirrors and cars, it's painted on walls. Many of you may be wearing a piece of jewelry with a cross. It's displayed, as I spoke earlier, on people's skins as a tattoo. Oh, taboo. Let's not get too religious, church. Because when we realize the power of the cross, we realize that it separates us from religion and the things that we judge and we think are wrong. And it helps us to the real story. The fact that I've got an unhealthy habit with food. Just as bad as my brother's habit with drugs. Amen. It speaks that I'll so easily speak about somebody else. And yet I look down on somebody who uses bad language. Same tongue. The cross is so important. Why is it so important? Today I want to speak to you about that. What is the cross? You have some history about the cross. Not much. From the 6th century BC, round about there. This thing is still making noise, I'm sorry. From about the 6th century BC until the 4th century AD, that's about for 1,000 years, the cross was an instrument of execution. It resulted in death by the most tortuous and painful ways. People might have thought that there are other ways that are more painful. But in history, the cross has been found to be the most excruciating manner of executing somebody. In fact, that word excruciating, if you take away the EX, it's spelled C-R-U-C-I-A-T. Cruce. The word excruciating means out of crucifying. So when you talk about excruciating pain, you've got no idea. Because excruciating pain compares the pain you're going through to the pain that people experienced on the cross. It's excruciating. However, even though it's such a symbol of pain and suffering and just man's ability to do awful things, because of Jesus Christ who went to the cross for us, today it's a symbol of hope, it's a symbol of love, and it's a symbol of peace. When we look at the cross today, we don't think, I want to hurt you. We think, I want to love you. So Jesus took our its meaning and turned it around. Isn't that amazing? His ability to change things around. I've got a few points on the cross this morning. The cross, first of all, is controversial. It's been a controversial symbol as long as it's been around. Many people will talk about the fact, yes, but the cross as we have it, yeah, with the down and the cross is not the cross that Jesus was crucified. Because the cross they used in those days was cut off, yeah. And this top bar was slotted in. So it was more of a T than a cross. And I thought about that in the week, and I thought, are we doing it all wrong? No, we're not. Because if you look at the shape of a human being stretched out on the cross, it's got a top part. Sorry, I must drink some water. And I didn't close it properly. So even that is a form of controversy. And then there's the religious people who would say, but the cross originated in paganism. I don't care. Because to you and to me, it speaks about Jesus and His sacrifice. Amen. And when we look at it, it's just like praying for food. We don't have to eat the food that they spoke about in the Old Testament because by faith we pray over it and we believe it's sanctified. And all food is good for us. So we can take the cross in any shape or form. And as long as we believe that it signifies Jesus and the work on the cross, it's acceptable to you and to you and to me. The cross is a stumbling block to the Jews. How could their promised Messiah die on a cross? He was supposed to come and save them from Roman rule and from those that persecuted them. They couldn't come to terms with the fact that their Messiah died on a despised piece of wood. In Matthew 27, verse 37 to 40, it says this, and they put up over his head the accusation written against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and another on the left, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. That was the Jews. Because he said to them, this temple will be broken down and be built up again in 3 days. But amongst them were people of the nations, Gentiles as well. So it wasn't just for them, but they despised him. The cross is controversial. It remains controversial. There's a story of the wreckage of the World Trade Center, 29/11. Where they found two intersecting beams in the shape of a cross. To unbelievers, it was coincident. But to Christians, it was a symbol of hope. Because those that died in Christ in the World Trade Center were with God in heaven. They weren't lost for eternity. And while it was there, some Catholic priests came and they started to do masses around it. And it was fine and there was no controversy. But the minute it was made a museum, and that same cross that was formed from those beams were put into the September 11 Memorial Museum, lawsuits started. And the argument was, it was a slap in the face of the non-Christian victims. It had no place in a publicly funded institution. But the museum prevailed in court on the grounds that the exhibit had already made a transition from religious symbol to historical artifact. But even in 9/11, the cross was a point of controversy. We know and we believe that if we die today, believing that Jesus Christ died and confessing with our mouth that God raised him from the dead, we are saved. We will go to heaven. What does the cross mean to you today, church? Is it a point of controversy in your own life? Are you battling to come to terms with the cross, to submission to the cross of Jesus Christ? Have you been battling with these ideas that people say, no, but it's a pagan sign? Don't. Accept the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. It's got meaning to you and me. It's a symbol of life and hope today. Secondly, the cross is the intersection being a place where two points cross each other. Here's an intersection, yeah, of God's justice and God's love. The cross is the intersection of God's justice and his love. We all know that God is a just God, and he demands punishment for sin. And our enemy is an accuser. That is why we've got an advocate, because the enemy goes into the courts of heaven and says they've sinned. And you, because you're a just God, need to punish them. And God says, no, there's the advocate. His blood is lying on the mercy seat. My children have mercy. The intersection of God's justice and his love. You may say, why was it necessary that a just and a loving God would allow his only begotten son to experience the most excruciating death possible? It was because he took the sins of the world. Let me give you an example of some of those sins. Jesus died on the cross for the atrocities committed by the Nazis against the Jews in Germany, the Holocaust. Jesus died for those sins. Think about that. I was thinking, what is the most heinous thing? You might be saying, Pastor Keith, you're talking heresy. No, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever, if Hitler turned to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on me, he would have been forgiven. It's hard to pallet, isn't it? You know why? Because we're so judgmental. Because we look at other sins and we say, I'm better than you. It's time to stop that, church. He died for the sins of every serial killer and rapist. He died for every fornicator and adulterer and every vile sexual transgression that takes place. He died for liars. Maybe we can identify with that one a little bit better, eh? I must remind you, men, Jesus said, adultery is not just when a man commits the actual act. He said, when a man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he's committed adultery. I don't know if there's a man sitting here that hasn't committed adultery. Enoch, come on. Jesus died for that. He died for liars, thieves, fraudsters, wife beaters, drunks, drug addicts. He died for us all. He died for every sin. That is why he had to die the most excruciating death. Because the sins of mankind are vile and horrible and disgusting and unacceptable. And God is a just God. And somewhere love had to intersect with his justice. And it intersected on the cross. We must never underestimate the power of the cross. John 1 verse 29 says this, the next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the Jews. Behold, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the people who lived in our time. No. Behold, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. You and I and everybody who ever lived. You know what the tragedy is? There's people who need to hear that Jesus Christ died for them. That's why we need to walk through the city with a cross. Because if they don't hear, they won't be able to partake in what he paid for on the cross. Oh, my word. The Lord just put something in my mind. I'm going to sit down, okay? Because this is hard too. Do you know, church, you might not agree with what I'm about to say to you. I hope you can see me from the back there. Just got to think through what I'm about to tell you. Do you know that when we choose not to witness, we are displaying a form of judgment? Sorry, that just dropped into my spirit right now. When we choose not to, when we choose to keep quiet, I'm too shy to speak to somebody about Jesus, we are judging them because we are excluding them from grace. We make a choice. That is a painful thing. It's a shock to me. It should be a shock to you this morning. Am I speaking heresy? Wow. It's an indictment against the church and it's an indictment against you and I this morning. Me, against me. Lord, forgive us. That's why we need the cross. We need grace because we're judgmental. Anna. Romans 5 verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The cross is the demonstration of the Father's love for us. When you say, but if God loves me, you need to be reminded of the cross. Because God demonstrates, he shows his love for us. While we were yet sinners, he died. He sent his son. Jesus demonstrates his love for us by this. He says, I love you so much. He spread out his arms. He didn't have to. He said, Father, fully man, if it's your will, take this cross. Take what lays before me away from me. Have you accepted the cross of Christ for what it means to you? As a symbol of God's mercy, an intersection of his justice and his love. We need that intersection of love. Because I think I just, by the Lord's grace, showed us that we all need it. Because all of us at one stage or another have lived in that same form of judging others because we've chosen to keep quiet. I don't want to... It just dropped in my heart, but it makes sense if I think of my spirituality. And then I am getting personal this morning. I just maybe got a bit personal and rattled your cage a bit. I rattled mine. The cross is personal. That's my third point. In most religions, people strive to reach deity. They strive to reach God, a sense of Godhood themselves, to become gods themselves. Christianity is the only faith where God had reached down and touched his people. He seeks a personal relationship with you and with me. Our parents can't accept the power of the cross on our behalf. Church, your spouse cannot be a Christian on your behalf. You need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. I cannot have a relationship with Jesus on your behalf. Nor can anybody else. The cross is a personal thing. We each need to come to the cross and have an experience at the foot of the cross and accept Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And we each need to be washed. I can't be washed for your sins, nor can you be washed for my sins. I can't be delivered from your addiction, nor can you be forgiven for my judgmental attitude. Are you with me this morning, church? The cross is personal. That's what makes it so hard. Maybe that's why there's such debate, because the Holy Spirit comes and he starts convicting our hearts. Now you speak to somebody in your family and they say, stop Bible bashing me. It's personal. They take it personally. But yet we just heard that we need to love them enough to not be judgmental and say, but Jesus loves you. It's personal. The Apostle Paul recognized that. Philippians 3 verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, which we sang so beautifully about this morning, and the fellowship of his sufferings. None of us want to suffer. But Paul says, I'm willing to have fellowship in his suffering. How? Being conformed to his death on the cross. I identify with Christ's death on the cross. I want to have fellowship with it. Who wants to die today on the cross? Please don't put up your hand. None of us want to die on the cross. But yet Jesus said, we must pick up our cross, follow him. The only way we can experience the power of the cross as a symbol, because the cross itself, even if the original cross lay here this morning, it would have no power. It's the power of what happened on the cross. The only way we can experience that power is if we have a personal experience and a personal encounter with Jesus Christ this morning. Maybe you need to renew your personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Maybe your encounter with Jesus Christ has grown cold. You've lost your first love. You've forgotten what it was like on that day that you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It's a personal thing, church. You need to spend personal time with him. And yes, you need to spend time with him as part of his body as well. But it's a personal thing. The cross is personal. The cross is a symbol of humility, my fourth point. Philippians 2 verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you. Let me just say, as I make this point, because I'm running out of time. Whatever the mind of Christ was, it's going to be our mind. Christ was a Savior full of humility. And you and I as a child of God need to be full of humility. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He's the creator of heaven and earth. I spoke about it 2 weeks ago. He's not a phantom. He is the true living creator of heaven and earth. And he did not consider it robbery. He's equal in every way to Father, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. Amen. He didn't consider it too much to come to earth in the form of a man. And he was fully man on the earth. And when he died on the cross, he wasn't God. He was man. God in the form of man. Suffered in the way that man suffers. Bore the sins of man. The weight was so much, he couldn't bear it. He said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because of the weight of sin. Your sin and my sin. The vile stuff. The dog's vomit. He said, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. He took the form of a criminal. And coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself. The heart, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. He humbled himself and became obedient. How many times do we battle with obedience to the Lord? To the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus went to the cross for you and I. You and I, we battle with humility. We're so concerned about what other people think. Like I'm shy to tell them about Jesus. What will they say if I become sold out for Jesus? Church, imagine if all of us were sold out for Jesus. This would be a praise party of note. And the glory of the Lord would be... Amen. What if I become radically saved? Conan and Echo will remember, it was in our time as young people, there was that song that Carmen said, I'm just radically saved. Okay, I can't sing it like that. Anymore. Amen. But we need to become like that, church. What if my colleagues and friends, when I start speaking about Jesus as my Lord and Savior, my best friend, the one for whose sake I choose not to get involved in the worldliness and the sin and the despicable stuff that happens in the world, what will they say? We must humble ourselves, church. Humility says, I don't care what they say. I care what God says. I'll humble myself before the Lord. I'll be a fool for you, Lord Jesus. David said, I will be even more undignified than this. What will they say if I choose to leave a family gathering in the Sunday afternoon to come to church? Ugh, you're such a Bible basher. Lord, I'm yours. Do you know that when we go and walk out on the street and testify and tell people about the Lord, I am totally out of my comfort zone. I find it the most difficult thing to do. And yet when I do it, there's such a sense of blessing and victory. Humble yourself. Jesus didn't go to the cross because it was easy. His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane told us it wasn't easy. He found it difficult. But he did it for you and for me. We're so proud. How can I ever say sorry? They were in the wrong. But Jesus humbly went to the cross when we were in the wrong. Say it. We were in the wrong. Say it. We were in the wrong. How can I forgive? They hurt me first. Why should I forgive them? Because he forgave you. Amen. The cross is a place of humility. When you look at the cross, let it remind you about pride and humility. James 4 verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Are we willing to wear our cross with humility? Are we willing to wear our cross and not think that we are holier than thou? I'm so good because I'm a Christian and I go to church on a Sunday. I'm so good because I've given money. I'm so good because I've supported somebody. That's not humility. That's pride. We need to leave the pride at the door and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. The cross, finally, is the second last point, but I'm running out of time, is the place where God does all the work. Who knows that neither you, nor me, nor anybody else that ever lived could have gone to the cross. There's nothing you can do. There's no work you can do. There's no work I can do. There's no money we can pay that's adequate to pay the price that Jesus paid on the cross. We've been saved by grace, through faith, and that alone. Amen. Galatians 6 verse 12 to 16. As many desire to make a good showing in the flesh. In other words, they want to look good. These would compel you to be circumcised. If you're circumcised, you're saved. No, you're not. Only that they may not suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. You see, they were scooting the reality of the cross of Christ. It's a place of being despised. I embrace, we sang the song, the old rugged cross. The despised cross. It's a place of being despised. Are you willing to be despised for Jesus' sake, church? It's time we make some decisions this morning. For not even those who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. They may boast in their works. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only place that we can boast. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. By whom the world has been crucified to me. What other people doesn't matter anymore. What they think because of the cross. Jesus Christ. What does the cross mean to you, church? For in Christ Jesus, nor circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything but a new creation. We access the new creation through the door of the cross. Do you possibly still believe that you can earn your salvation through works? Through the money you put in the offering? Through the good things that you do? I'm here to tell you, church, no. No. The only way you access grace is through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. And you have to accept that work. It's the work done for you, and it's the work done for me. I was going to speak about us being invited to pick up our own cross. I will. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anybody desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It wasn't only Jesus who had to go to a cross. You and I have to go to a cross. I spoke about the personal relationship earlier on. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in him who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who live. I'm crucified. Say it with me. I'm crucified. Come on, church. I'm crucified. Come on, let's believe it. I'm crucified. Are we willing to take up the cross and our place of surrender today? Jesus surrendered on the cross. You and I need to surrender today. Are we willing to take the me, myself, and I out of the equation? Pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ? We've heard about the cross of Jesus. I'll close with this today. It's controversial. It's the intersection of God's justice and his love. It's personal. It's a symbol of humility. It's a place where God has done all the work. It's an invitation to live the crucified life by picking up our own cross. And I want to say this. The cross is final. This is my last and final closing point. The cross is final. An extract from the book Pilgrim's Progress. It's in Old English. Now I saw in my dream that the highway up which Christian was to go was fenced on both sides, on either side with a wall. And that wall was called salvation. Up this way, therefore, did burden Christian run, but with great difficulty because of the load on his back. What's that load on your back? Your sins, the things that bind you, your hurts, your unforgiveness. We were crying just now in the Lord's presence. I know I wasn't the only one. I saw you blading your noses and rubbing your eyes. Are you carrying burdens this morning? The cross is final. This isn't the real cross. But you can come before the Lord Jesus Christ at this altar this morning and lay your burden at the cross, at the feet of Jesus. He ran thus till he came to a place somewhat ascending. And upon that place stood a cross. And a little below in the bottom, a sepulchre. A sepulchre is a tomb. I had to look it up. I don't know what it meant. Dr. Shirley there, because she understands these fancy words, but a sepulchre is a tomb. So I saw in my dream that just as Christian came up from the cross, his burden loosed from off his shoulders and fell from off his back and began to tumble and continued so to do till it came to the mouth of the sepulchre, to the mouth of the tomb, where it fell in and I saw it no more. So many come to the cross and they lay burdens down and they get up and they walk away with those same burdens. But think about the cross. Jesus died on the cross. He was buried in the tomb on the third day rose. That tomb is empty. Till today it's empty. But you know what got chucked away and dealt with in that tomb is our sins. And the thing, I'm just doing a bit of poetic license. The Bible doesn't say our sin is in the tomb, okay? Jesus paid the price. It's cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness. But if I take that picture, our sins have rolled away into that tomb. The tomb's door has been rolled closed to never be open again. So your sins can't come back when the enemy comes and says, yeah, but wait a minute. You were checking out those pornographic pictures. No, no, no. You were hooked on drugs. No, no, no. You beat your wife. No, no, no. You committed adultery. No, you're a liar. No, you stole from your workplace. No, you blaspheme me. You blaspheme God. No. As long as you take hold of the work done on the cross, the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, that blood will wash you clean and you can be free. And when the Lord sets you free, when Jesus Christ sets you free, he will make you free indeed. You need never, ever, 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 ever go and pick up that sin, that guilt, that shame again. And you know what? By the grace of God, if you sin again, the cross still carries its value. The cross still carries its value. So this morning I've encouraged you about the cross. And I'd like you to stand. Close your eyes. This morning there's people in this house
that forgot about the cross. They came to the cross once upon a time in their life, but they've drifted away from it. They've drifted away from Jesus. It's not the cross that saves, it's Jesus that saves. You need to have a one-on-one relationship with Him. If that's you this morning, put up your hand. Come on, church. Put them high so I can see them. Put it high. Yes, amen. Keep those hands up. There's other people here this morning that have never, ever, ever experienced the power of the cross because you've never invited Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Put up your hand. I see hands going up here. That's it. We're going to pray a prayer. Thank you, Lord, for victory this morning. Pray with me this morning. I want you that you have put up your hand this morning. I want you to go home. I want you to write down today's date and say, today I learned what the cross means to me. And I've recommitted my heart to Jesus. And I want you to write that with a date. Go and find a scripture, whether it's John 3:16, whether it's something about the cross. Maybe Galatians 2 verse 20, it's no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. Put it in your Bible as a reminder. Let us pray. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning. I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your blood shed on the cross. And the payment for my sin. And that I'm forgiven. I'm washed clean in your precious blood. The enemy cannot accuse me anymore. Because the price has been paid in full. I'm a forgiven, blood washed child of God. I receive you this morning to be the Lord of my life and to rule and reign in my heart as my Savior. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen.